This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
What we're looking at today, Falaka and myself will be teaching this. We're looking at fulfillment in marriage. Amen. And I want those of you who are here, you're also going to be a blessing to people as you listen to this series that we're doing. And I'll tell you why you're going to be a blessing. Because I remember when we first started, especially in teaching counseling and teaching people in about marriage, we didn't know the number of people that were just going to come to us and ask us questions about marriage. And I just want to encourage you that you can find fulfillment in your marriage, and you can also help other people to find fulfillment in their marriage. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for the word that will go forth. We believe that it will not return to you void. It will accomplish that which it has been sent to accomplish. And lives will be transformed and marriages will be fulfilled. Father God, we want to thank you because it's your plan. It is not our plan. It is your plan for marriage. It is your plan that every marriage on this earth fulfills what it was set to fulfill. Father, and so we stand in agreement today and we say, may it be done in our marriages in this church. And not only our marriages, but marriages in our families, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just believe that this will not be the only place, but through our lives, marriages will be touched and transformed in Jesus' name.
Amen,
amen and amen. Last week, we looked at marriage as a covenant and not a contract. Amen. And we also looked at marriage as being one flesh. Today, we're going to look at finding fulfillment in marriage. And I want to start by saying there is the myth that when you get married, you will find fulfillment. I don't know if you've ever heard that. And some even say you're not complete until you meet your other half. And I'm here to tell you that it's not true. Marriage does not fulfill you. And it does not make you complete. You have to be first complete and secure in God. And find yourself worth in God before you even think of going into marriage. You see, if you as a person, you're not healthy and you go into marriage unhealthy, then you have an unhealthy marriage. Amen. Unfortunately, so many people out there are not hearing this. I remember when we first started doing the one course, teaching people. It was strange for us to be teaching it. And we used to say to those who came to listen to our teaching and say to them, you don't know how privileged you are to sit down here and go through 9 weeks with us telling you how to plan your life, how to plan your money and all that kind of thing. We didn't go through it. And we just want to encourage you today that marriage does not fulfill people and it does not make people complete. The only person that does is God. Mm-hmm. And you have to find fulfillment and wholeness and self-worth in God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you look at today's world, you'll see that most people do not see marriage as a covenant. People don't look at they don't think of marriage and think of the word covenant. They, you know, think of something else completely. For some people, they see it as a fashion statement. It's actually in some societies and in some, you know, context, a fashionable thing to get married. It's just something that is like, it's like a fad, you know, that people think, okay, this is the thing to do. For some people, it's about following tradition. Everybody in my, you know, family got married, so therefore I have to get married, or marriage is the thing that is done. For some people, it's their parents, you know, on their back saying, you're getting too old, what are you waiting for? And, you know, all sorts of pressure from parents, you know, reminding them of their age and all that kind of thing. And because of this, a lot of people, sometimes because of the pressure, a lot of people actually see marriage as that avenue to become complete and fulfilled, like Pastor was saying, you know, and it's like, okay, if only I can get married, if only, you know, I enter into marriage, I will be complete, I will be fulfilled. You know, that void in my life will be filled. That sense of unfulfillment will be removed. That sense of being incomplete will disappear. And like Pastor's saying, you know, unfortunately that is not true, because I'm sure those people who are married here will bear witness to the fact that the fact that you get married does not mean you become complete or fulfilled. Some people also see marriage as a means of legalizing their cohabiting lifestyle. We actually live in a society where cohabitation is a very, very big thing, you know, especially in this society. So much so now that, you know, the same rights that are being given to married people is now being extended to cohabiting people, especially when there are children involved. So some people, it's just that means of legalizing it. That's that's the only way. That's the only thing that they think, okay, this is the next thing to do. You know, we've been living together for so long. Okay, let's just get married. Okay. So there's so many more reasons that we can't go into that people get married today. But all these reasons were never really God's intention or his plan when he instituted marriage. That wasn't God's plan or his reason for instituting marriage.
His intentions have always and still is a covenant relationship. Mm. Okay. In Genesis 1:27, he says, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now you see here that when God created Adam, he created him in God's image. A complete, fulfilled, and a secure man. Amen. Just like God, he lacked nothing. Amen. And you see, when God created him in his own image, he did not just create him and say, okay, Adam, just hang in there. But he gave him a purpose. Okay, he gave him a purpose. And that purpose is in verse 28. He says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, one, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So he had a purpose. And what happens is, a lot of people get into marriage without knowing why they are on this earth. They get into marriage not knowing the actual purpose why God placed them on this earth. So what we now see in our society and marriages are people who lack a purpose and have gone into marriage hoping and believing that they will find fulfillment there. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And so a lot of people have gone into marriage and it's been a big problem for them. And what we're saying today is that God never intended for marriage to fulfill us, but rather for marriage to enhance our God-given gifts and abilities. Okay? In every one of us, there are abilities and gifts placed there. And as individuals, we are unique. We are therefore in marriage to complement one another. Amen. My wife today, we teach marriage, we teach Married for Life, we do the One for Life course. We speak to people about marriages, but that wasn't how we started. You understand? We're from two different backgrounds. But as we got married, we gradually began to realize the actual reason why God brought us together. You understand? And the unfortunate thing is that many people out there do not really understand why God brought them together. Genesis 2:18 says, "And Jehovah God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. I'll make him a helpmeet for him."
When you look at this passage in the Bible, contrary to some opinions, does not suggest that Adam was not complete, okay? Because some people feel that what it was saying was that Adam was not complete. Instead, what it was talking about was two unique individuals working together and complementing each other, okay? So the reason why God gave Adam Eve was to complement him. Okay, so that together they could fulfill the unique purpose for which God created them. And that's why God brings us together in marriage. There's a purpose for it, and God wants us to fulfill that purpose. And I'm going to quote from Chad and Christine Arnold. These are the authors of the One for Life course. It says, "It is clear that God's desire for marriage is that two people have a single vision and pursue it as one rather than just two people doing two different things. What's happening, what's causing the problem today is that two people with two different visions or no visions at all are coming together and basically they're not pursuing one single vision." Okay. Why does the Bible say, "And the two will come together and they will become one flesh"? That's for the purpose of them actually pursuing one vision. So, you know, every married couple has been put together by God to pursue one single vision, not for the two people to be, you know, pursuing two different visions. And that's what's causing a lot of the problems that we see in marriage today. That's why we have so many broken marriages. So many marriages that are going through rough times, because if you actually sit down with couples and you dig into what exactly is causing the problem, many a times people do not even realize that God has called them for a purpose, that there's a purpose for their marriage, there's a purpose for their lives, there's a single vision that God has put them together for. That's the first thing. And the second thing is sometimes, you know, two people both have different visions, and that those visions haven't been married together. They haven't sought God's face and to say, "Okay, why did you bring us together? How can we marry these two visions together?" You know, they haven't done that at all, and therefore there's a lot of friction. And I'm just going to read some of the answers that we have put here. We've said that the reason why a lot of people are going through rough times, first of all, the first thing that we've come up with is that a lot of people have come into marriage carrying a lot of baggage, okay? A lot of baggage, okay? You know, when I got married, I didn't have a clue. It was just the right thing to do, you know. It was like, okay, this is the time. This is what you do. You're just going to marry. No counseling, you know, even though we were Christians. Nothing like that. You know, just went into marriage, okay? No dealing with the baggage of the past. No dealing with the hurts. No, you know, nothing. Nothing about vision. The word wasn't even in our dictionary. Nothing about purpose. It was just enter headlong into it and then learn as you go along. And many a times it's painful when
And the answer to it was, "Oh, we love each other."
Yeah, you know, but that doesn't, you know, I'm telling you, that doesn't hold water when the times get really rough. So a lot of people come into marriage carrying, you know, baggage. And one of the baggages is hurt from the past. You know, for some people, their hurt might be because they've gone through abuse, you know, in their childhood. Some people have suffered from rejection, are still suffering from rejection, and they bring that baggage of rejection and that feeling of rejection into marriage. For some people, there's a lot of unforgiveness. There's the baggage of unforgiveness. They've been hurt by parents. They've been hurt by aunties. They've been hurt by family. You know, that's not been dealt with. They just enter into marriage, you know, carrying along with them their unforgiveness, okay? For some people, it's a low self-esteem, and therefore they're very needy. They're very insecure, you know. I'm going to be vulnerable here. When I came into marriage, at the time I didn't realize that. But there was a low self-esteem. There was an insecurity, and therefore that translated into very needy. You know, I was very, very needy. And therefore, you know, I was the kind of person where my husband had to be there all the time. You know, if he's going out, why are you going out? You know, why can't you stay at home? So, you know, these are baggages that people bring in. For some people, it's the baggage of cynicism, some anger, you know, which translated into verbal abuse. For some people, depression, and then needy relationships. But everyone, you know, carrying these baggages, come into marriage hoping that their spouse will help them find happiness.
Well, the truth is, unfortunately, it's impossible for your spouse to help you when you come in with all those baggages. Mm. Because when you come in, your spouse also has his own bag, his yeah. or own baggage. Okay, so what happens is, your spouse comes with her own or his own baggage and says, "This is my baggage. Can you take it?" Mm. And she's saying, "This is my own baggage. Can you take it?" Mm. I said, "No, I've got mine." "No, you've got..." Well, and then what happens? Mm. You begin to see strife. Okay? Because it is impossible to have a healthy marriage if you're not healthy yourself. Amen? Mm. If you're not healthy yourself. So what happens is, we now place high expectations on each other. Mm. And when one person is not meeting that expectation, it becomes a problem. Mm. Amen? Mm. And our high expectation is, I believe my wife will fulfill me, and I believe, and she believes, I will fulfill her. Mm. And so when we do not find fulfillment in each other, what happens is we begin to fight each other. Amen? Mm. And before you know it, we say, we weren't meant to be together. Amen. Mm. So you see, if you're not yourself whole, it would be impossible to complete the other person. Mm. And there's a complement the other person. Mm. And there's therefore a need for us to deal with issues in our own lives. Amen. Mm. You know, if you come into marriage, there's this arithmetic that has been done. If you come into marriage as a half person and the other person is whole, half multiplied by one. Is that how you put it? One multiplied by half. What do you get? Half. So the one person that is whole cannot turn your life around. Mm-hmm. Because you'll never complement each other. Mm-hmm. And if you come in half multiplied by half, what does it give you? One quarter. Mm-hmm. Amen? So that situation is even worse. Mm-hmm. But if you come in as whole individuals, two whole individuals, one multiplied by one, what does it give you?
One.
That's wholeness. You understand? So the question is, who is a whole person?
Okay. A whole person is someone who is secure in who they are. They appreciate compliments, but they do not depend on these things to survive. Okay, so they appreciate people complimenting them, you know,
encouraging them.
But in themselves, they are whole. In themselves, they are secure. So much so that when those things are not available, when they're not receiving those things, they can still stand because they're secure in who they are. And really, that only comes from Jesus. You know, we've been talking about fulfillment, but ultimately what we are saying is that our fulfillment only comes from Jesus. And, you know, one time God showed me, how can I seek for my fulfillment in another human being? And that's what we do in marriage. You know, we're wanting another human being. That human being is also just a human being, a frail human being like we are. And what we are doing is that we go into marriage expecting our husband, our wife to fulfill us. But it's not possible. Only God can fulfill us. And that's where the disappointment comes. Okay, that's where the disappointment comes, that they're not fulfilled. And we think they're not up to standard. They're not who they, you know, our expectations are shattered because we're like, you know, this is not what I expected. Because especially for us women, we have this, you know,
high hopes.
high hopes and this.
Looking for a tall
romantic,
man,
a knight
in shining armor.
Ideas of how it was going to be and how they would just be perfect and they would do everything right. And there's so much expectation. And God had to show me that, look, my husband cannot fulfill me. And it's not right for me to put such expectation on him, because what I'm doing is putting a burden and a yoke that does not belong to him on him. But that yoke and that burden instead should be put on Jesus. Okay.
And you know, one of the things I found out in marriage, when we got married, was the expectation. When we were courting, it was okay, because my wife was so quiet, so gentle, and this gentlewoman, oh, lovey. And I was this person who, I was punctual. I don't think I was punctual, was I?
Yeah, you were.
I punctual? But when it comes to tidying up, my wife didn't know that I was so untidy, because she just realized that when she comes to the house, everything was okay. Okay, because my cousin was doing everything and I was hardly at home. Until when we got married, and I would put my shoes there, put my books everywhere. And guess what? It was like, darling, they shouldn't be here. And I'm going, but that's what I'm used to. You understand? And guess what? It began to cause friction. But the truth is that I was expecting my wife to fulfill me. There was so much expectation. And I wasn't getting those expectations. And my expectation was, my wife shouldn't say anything, because when I met her, she was very quiet. So she shouldn't say anything. Do you know how many times you've been like that? Some of you who are married.
So, like we were saying, a whole person strives on challenges. Okay? They thrive on challenges. And their relationship is built on love and mutual respect. So it's not a relationship of, oh, give to me, you know. I want to take. It's a relationship that is built on love and mutual respect.
A person who is not whole has the motivation of, what can I get out of this marriage? How can this marriage help me? Why can't you listen to me? I cannot live without you. You see, because their relationship is actually based on give and take.
It's not based.
Their relationship is not based on give and take. It's based on what can I get? What can I get? Mm. What can I get?
Yeah.
But it's not what can I give. Mm. And you see, when you look back at when we talked about covenant is, what can I give in exchange for something, you understand, that I can, so that I can be the strength where you're weak.
Okay.
So why do people come into marriage with baggage? Why? Some of it is hereditary, what some people call generational patterns. Some call it life patterns. I'll tell you a story which I love to tell. It's about this young lady whose husband was so mystified by the fact that when she wants to fry sausage, she'll have to chop it off at both ends before putting it in the frying pan. And this went on for long, and the husband just couldn't understand why. So the husband one day said to her, listen, darling, why do you always do this? He said, because that's the way my mother does it. So the husband said, okay, let's go and ask your mom why she does it that way. So they went to the mom, and the mom said, oh, that's the way my mom has always done it. So thank God a great old woman was alive. So they said, let's go to the woman and find out. So they went, and the woman said, well, the truth is that my frying pan was too small and the sausage won't fit in. So I used to chop them off on both ends so I can just put the sausage in. But now it became a life pattern. Sometimes the things we do are things we've picked up in our homes. And then we come into marriage and then we want to force it on our spouses. Some people call it hereditary, generational patterns. Some call it hereditary spirit. Some call it life patterns. Some people still want to live their lives as singles and do not realize that in marriage there is a living and cleaving. They still want to go out with the boys. They still want to go out with the girls. And seriously, some people always say to me, ain't your wife and yourself ever bored of being together? You work together, you're constantly on the phone to each other. But do you know why we can do that? We have a purpose. We have a vision. So most times when my wife and myself speak, we're talking about the things we both believe in. Amen? And as humans, we are molded by our thinking and behavioral patterns. Some are formed of our own doing, and other patterns have been picked up from parents. And these patterns can either be beneficiary or destructive to your marriage. So the question is, when you bring these patterns into marriage, they will either make the marriage fruitful or sterile. And those patterns that do not glorify God will now begin to cause conflicts in your marriage. Okay? And thank God, God really helped us, and we had to quickly see that and had to deal with it. I have a friend who, he's very quiet, but the wife comes from a home where there is always argument, they're always fighting and that kind of a thing. And so when she gets into this argumentative mood, the husband just stands in awe and wonder what's going on. And she cannot understand why the husband is not responding to her attitude. She had to cast her mind back that her husband is from a home where those things don't happen. Amen. Whilst she can cast her own mind back to her own home, that this is what she got, this is how she was brought up. So sometimes some of these things are things we've picked up, and then we come into marriage and we think that is the norm, but it is not the norm. Okay. And so maybe you were brought up in a home where your parents were probably in second marriage, and you take it as a norm. Okay. And I believe that God wants to deal with all those areas. And the question is, so how do we deal with these patterns in our marriage?
Okay. The first thing, going back, is that we need to know what our purpose is on this earth as a couple. Why have we been created? You know, what is God's purpose for our life? What is God's plan for our life? Because God definitely has a plan for us. So that's the first thing. That's the first place that, you know, if you're a couple in a marriage, you know, and even if, you know, because I know that there are people here tonight who are not married. Even if you're not married and you're planning to get married, these are the kind of things that you need to begin to think about, that you need to begin to speak to God about. We need to know what God's purpose for our life. You see, what happens is that when we do not know God's purpose for our life, we walk aimlessly. You know, we are like just people just walking aimlessly all around. Okay. And we really do not begin to live until we find out what God's purpose is for our life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end." Okay. So the first thing is that we know what our purpose is.
And the second thing is to deal with those ungodly patterns in our life. Ask God to show you ungodly patterns and begin to do battle with them. Okay, you begin to take hold of those ungodly patterns. If it's anger, you begin to say, "Anger, I command you to get out of my life in the name of Jesus." If it's clinging, then begin to go to God and say, "God, teach me how to find my fulfillment in you. Teach me how to be complete in you. Teach me how to be secure in you." Okay? You may have come into your marriage insecure. Always remember that security and self-worth is in God, and you're complete in him. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm reading this from, Message Bible. It says, "Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start." Amen. Get a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. A new life blossoms. Look at it. You get what I'm saying? So you can find a new life in him. So that you can bring all the old habits to the cross and say, Lord, where I've felt hurt, where there was unforgiveness, where I've been abused, all these areas, I bring them before the cross and I ask you to give me a new life so that you can find fulfillment in your marriage.
And can I also add the fact that, you know, the way, you know, we need to ask God to show us those ungodly patterns. And one way he's going to do that is through his word. Okay, so for example, like Pastor was sharing about, you know, someone might grow up in a home where shouting is, you know, quite the norm. Okay, like, you know, for example, in my home, my mom was, you know, a typical African woman, so there was shouting in the home. And you grow up in that kind of home, you feel that's the norm. Okay, you feel that's how it is, because that's all you've ever known. And sometimes God has to show us through his word that what we feel is the norm is not actually the norm. What we feel is normal, it's okay to do, is, you know, it's not actually okay to do. And sometimes, you know, God has to show us that way for us to be convinced. Because for many people, as far as they're concerned, it's all right. It's okay. It's okay to be angry. Everybody gets angry. You know, everybody shouts and screams and, you know, what's the problem? So we need to, you know, ask God through his word to show us those ungodly patterns, and then also ask him to help us, well, to deal with them in our lives. Okay. Also, the third thing, ask yourself this question: what am I sowing into my marriage? What am I sowing? Okay. What am I sowing into my marriage? How do I treat my spouse? Will I be happy if someone else treats me that way? Okay. If I'm treated the way that I treat my spouse, will I be happy? We need to look at what we are sowing. We need to look at the words that we are sowing. We need to look at the actions that we are sowing. We need, you know, it's like doing a review on our lives. It's like doing a reevaluation. You know, reevaluating our ways of doing things. How? What are we sowing? What are the seeds? Because maybe it's the seeds that we are sowing, especially seeds of words that we are sowing, that's causing us to see the negative fruit that we are seeing in our lives, or in our spouses' lives and in our homes. We need to examine that.
Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we fail not." And the truth is that once we begin to change our pattern of doing things, we begin to see the fruit. You understand? I like this thing in one of this quote in Married for Life. It says, "Ignorance of the law of gravity does not stop a man that jumps from the top of a roof from experiencing the law of gravity." It might be ignorant, you understand, but if he jumps, he will actually experience it. It's the same thing with sowing and reaping. Because we do not believe that what we sow with our mouth will one day harvest it, does not mean it won't happen. You understand? And that's why we need to watch what we're saying in our marriages. Even those of you who are not married yet and you'll be going into marriage, you need to watch it. We've had to sit in my house. You don't say anything negative, even though sometimes my kids would want to do it, but we caution them, we pull them back and say, "Listen, you don't say that about your sister. You don't say that about anybody." When my wife and myself are upset with each other, we do not say anything negative. You understand? Why not? Because we want to speak the positive thing and sow the right seed in our home. You need to sow the right seed in your home. You need to learn to forgive one another. The baggage is not their fault. Amen? So let it go. And that's the only way you can find fulfillment in your marriage. There are other areas that we will bring next week. We'll be looking at how you sow love by sowing love languages, handling conflict, and other areas of marriage. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight, that which we've been able to share. And we believe that this will breakthrough, bring breakthroughs in marriages in this church, that people will find fulfillment in their marriage, that marriages in this church will be, oh God, like a lighthouse that draw people unto the Lord. Father, we pray that those who are not married yet in this church will plan to get married, that Lord God Almighty, what we have taught today will set them free to be a beautiful couple in their own lives. In the name of Jesus. Abba Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have truly been blessed by this message, or if you would like any information, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.info@wol-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.